Now, 35 government roles were given out in recent days. Cabinet members, super juniors, junior ministers. Out of these portfolios, just 9, or a quarter, went to women, raising new questions about equality and why 100 years on from the first Dáil, more women aren't making it into senior politics. I'm joined by Claire McGing of the Institute of Art, Design and Technology in Dunleary and researcher in women's politics. Good afternoon, Claire.
Good afternoon, Carol.
Now, you tweeted during the week that if all of the women TDs in Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Green Party had got a ministry or a junior ministry, there would still be just 13 out of 35 government positions. So is it correct to say that women were slighted by last week's job announcements?
I mean, it is to a large extent, it reflects the very low number of women available to the Taoiseach this week to have selected four ministries, whether senior ministries or ministries of state. So if you look across the three government parties, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Labour. Fianna Fáil only elected 5 women TDs in what seems like a lifetime ago in the last general election. Fine Gael, 6 women TDs and the Green Party only 2. So there was only 13, there's only 13 women TDs there. And what it means is that in actual fact, because the Taoiseach has a number of different priorities or things that he has to juggle when he's allocating ministries, it means that in actual fact, 3 of the 5 Fianna Fáil women have ministries, 4 of the 6 in Fine Gael and 1 of 2 in the Green Party. So the numbers really reflect the very low proportions that are there. That contrasts, say, with Sinn Féin. So Sinn Féin had a much better for election for women a number of months ago. Of their 37 TDs, 13 of those are women. And Mary Lou MacDonald was able to appoint a front bench that is 40% female. So it often depends on, it largely depends on the amount of number of women that are available to them.
And of course, the Taoiseach is going to say that there are 6 women in cabinet, which is more than ever before. We had Hildegard Nocton and Pippa Hackett, both super junior ministers, but they don't have a vote. Is there still an unwillingness to let women at the big jobs, to give them, I suppose, full voting rights as well at the cabinet table?
What we do tend to see is we tend to see a lot of gendered segregation in the allocation of ministries. So historically speaking, and even in the current cabinet, what we tend to see is that women are often clustered into what we might call broadly social portfolios, health, education, social protection, etc. Whereas men are more likely to be put into positions around the economy and also kind of the big high profile ones, which are finance and foreign affairs. We have yet to have a woman minister in either of those positions. Now, there was some discussion this week about the fact that the Green Party didn't nominate Nessa Horgan to a finance ministry of state, given that she had been the party spokesperson there. So we do tend to see, yes, that there is, I suppose, a gender dimension to the types of roles that women are getting. Now, having said that, the roles that women do get, I mean, education, for example, social protection, they are big high spend departments. So it's not as if they're not prestigious, but certainly they're not in those big roles that often, for example, lead someone to become Taoiseach or would have very high levels of public visibility.
And I suppose in response to that, the Taoiseach or Leo Varadkar might say, well, look at Helen McEntee, she's the Minister for Justice. But it was reported as a, quote, surprise appointment. And I know this is a bit clichéd, but if it were a man who had performed well at European level, would Helen McEntee be classified as a surprise?
No, and I noticed that there wasn't that kind of discussion around one or two of the male TDs who may have been, you know, promoted, being relatively new TDs. And of course, Helen McEntee, I think most people would say that she did an excellent job in her European Affairs portfolio. And I suppose that promotion was one that, you know, shouldn't have been probably a surprise. But we do tend to see that a bit when it comes to women's promotions in politics. Norma Foley, too. Of course, got a cabinet position in education after her first electoral or first winning a seat back in February. And there have been a number of other TDs, a small number, but nonetheless, there have been a small number of TDs across history who have received cabinet ministries on their first outing.
Claire, let's just look at the Seanads now. And this is one area where women dominated was the Taoiseach's nominees. 9 out of the 11 were female. Is it fair to say that party leaders are now looking at the Seanads as a way to get these accomplished women into Leinster House as opposed to the electoral route?
Absolutely. So the Seanad stands in real contrast to the Dáil, where unlike the Dáil, which is just 22.5% female, the Seanad is now 40% female, which A, is a record high for Irish politics, but B, I did some searching a couple of days ago, we're actually one of the world leaders now for women's representation in the upper house. And as you say, that is largely because of the 9 of the 11 appointments were made were given to women. One of the most significant appointments, and I would say a historic breakthrough appointment, was the appointment of Senator Eileen Flynn, who was the first traveller woman to ever be represented in the Oireachtas. And that is quite important, given that we know that there are many, many structural barriers to the representation of women from minority ethnic groups in this country. So that was quite important. The vocational panels, when the Shannon elections were held a number of months ago, didn't produce any real change there, to be honest. So the Taoiseach's appointments were key to that figure. The university seats are gender balanced. Of the 6, 3 are men, 3 are women, and that wasn't a change in the last time. So the university seats tend to be a little bit more or tend to be more progressive than they have been historically.
I came across a study that found that when people were asked, and particularly young people, about women in politics, that they mistakenly believed that there are far more than they actually are. Is this bad news for women? Because if it's not seen as a problem, maybe there's nobody pushing for a solution.
Yeah, we tend to see that in all occupations where women tend to be in very low numbers. We see that in studies in the field of science, for example, too, in industry, etc., that we often because women that are there in very low numbers, they tend to maybe get some more, you know, they tend to be in the media, for example. So it may give this impression that there's more of them than there are. I suppose The big piece of work now for parties to do, if parties are serious about this, we're 4 years out from the local elections. The next general election, there are gender quotas in place for the Dáil election. It was 30%. It will rise to 40% after 2023, assuming we don't have a general election before then. So the big job of work now for parties to do really is to bridge the gap between female candidates and female seat winning or representation. Ensure that the women that they identify as candidates that are serving at local office and the women that they currently have in the Oireachtas, that they are being nurtured, that they are being equipped, and they are given the support to go forward, and hopefully then we'd start over time to see an increase in the number of women in the Dáil and in all levels of politics in Ireland.
Okay, well, should we leave it there? Claire McGing of the Institute of Art, Design and Technology in Dún Laoghaire, thank you very much for coming into us.